Hey, everybody, this is Craig Pera, and you're listening to Sex Afflictions and Porn Addictions. Really, really excited today. It's not often that you get people talking about this stuff publicly. And I had a really positive experience recently. This guy named Chandler messages me, and I get so many messages. I'm blessed. I really, really am blessed. People do want to talk to me and want to partner and want to I'm so reluctant to do that because for obvious reasons, it's I don't agree with their philosophy. The product isn't good. One guy recently reached out to me and he was sharing how to get rid of urges. And I'm like, that's unethical. That's unprofessional. That's slick marketing language. If you could do that, you deserve some kind of a Nobel Prize. It's just silly. It's silly. You learn how to channel them. You learn how to direct them, to overcome them. You don't, get rid of them. And, every so often though, someone comes along and shares with me, a product. In this case, it's an app. I actually have it up on my phone and we're going to get into that. But with me today, I have Jade and Chandler. Chandler is the founder of Relay. And hey, guys, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Craig. Super happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So listen, let's start just and both of you, feel free to jump in. How did you get here? What brought you to this place right now where you're on Sex Afflictions and Porn Addictions, talking about an app that clearly took considerable amount of effort to build? Let's hear it.
Yeah. No, and feel free to interrupt. It's a wild ride of a story, but it really goes back to, my days in high school. I was first exposed to pornography and masturbation, and I was raised in a great family, had very loving parents, a faith-based home. And, for the most part, like I saw myself as a good kid, trying to do my best in school and everything else that I did. And I remember when I first started struggling with these unwanted sexual behaviors, that I didn't feel equipped to handle them. I didn't necessarily have any intentional desire to go view pornography. But yet I found myself continuing to slip into behaviors that I didn't want to. And so I just remember feeling really conflicted in kind of my adolescence there in high school, feeling like, I have this picture of who I want to be. And for me, a lot of that was driven by my belief in God and trying to aligned to the values that I've been taught and that I really believe. And it was really hard because I didn't know how to talk to my parents about it. I didn't know how to seek help or get support. Eventually, if you fast forward a couple of years, I was lucky enough to be able to eventually talk about it with my mom, who was awesome and really, was able to help be on my team from a very young age, right? Like I know a lot of guys I've talked to. This is 10, 20 years before anyone else is really in the picture, right?
And question, where was dad?
So he was around. He's awesome. I just never felt as comfortable talking to him about it, unfortunately. And I've shared with him a little bit, here and there throughout the years. But I think in a way, my mom was always the one that was very, clear about, hey, nothing's too weird for us to talk about. Nothing is too shameful, right? Like I'm here to support you. And I felt that from my dad, but I guess with this topic, my mom is more open. She is the one who let's have the talk, and teach you about sex, right? She was a lot more, happy to talk about those type of things. I think my dad was a little bit more awkward,
Yeah. Well, I see two opportunities here. Number one, I see an opportunity for dads to get comfortable with their own challenges and be honest about their own challenges and, start having these conversations with kids at a lower and lower age. The other thing too, and you guys are LDS, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I love my LDS brothers. They hold their flock to a higher standard and they absolutely do a poor job, in helping people accomplish that higher standard. That's almost saying, hey, we want you to run a world-class time, but we want you to train on YouTube.
Yeah. Good luck. You've got this. Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. We want you to build an aircraft, but we're not going to tell you how to do it. So anyway, there's my piece. I have to put that out there. And any of, you know, your brothers who are listening, anybody who's in leadership, who is listening, you have to do a better job. And I hope podcasts like this and the work that you're doing will inspire people to step up, because men really need to lead our sons in a really, you know, better way than how we've been doing.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, you know, I appreciate that higher standard that really pointed me, and I think it set a trajectory for, you know, not just in a religious sense, but in a lot of areas of my life,
right?
Yeah.
Career, everything.
Right. But, you know, I think it only takes 2 seconds to, you know, to realize, okay, yeah, maybe this is something that I don't want to be doing. And the rest of it is like, okay, how do I get there? Right. It's that training that you just talked about.
Yeah.
That I definitely didn't have. And so to kind of just continue, I did end up getting involved with a group-based program for other teenagers and young adults that were struggling with this. And that was actually huge for me, not really because of any particular aspect of that program, but because I finally had other guys that were in the same boat as me that I could talk openly about this with and realize that I didn't suck because I was struggling with this. So I stopped pointing the sword at myself, you know, and beating myself up. And I think that was a huge turning point in my journey. As I was, you know, kind of leaving the house, going to college, I served a mission for the LDS Church. It was starting to realize that, you know, a lot of people who struggle with this are trying to change, and that's awesome. Like, that should be celebrated. It's not as much about counting, right, the number of days I'm at, as it is like, let's work on the foundational things that I hadn't really known about before.
Yeah. Now, tell me how, when did you meet Jade? And Jade, I want to hear a little bit about how you ended up here sitting next to this wonderful man.
Yeah. So we were both going to school and college when we met, and this was 3 years ago now. So we've been married, almost three years. Yeah. We got married pretty quick, but we, you know, early on as we were dating, I made the decision, like, if I'm going to get close to this girl, I want to be open and honest with her, you know, before we form, you know, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy. I want to be straight up with her. And this was kind of the start of our journey with this together is, you know, it was one night I approached her and I'd kind of been trying to feel out, you know, what's the right way to go about it. And Jade has some great tips for
the night that I said, I love you.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Jade said, I love you sooner than I was expecting. And so I was like, oh crap. Like I want to be honest about what I'm dealing with or what I've dealt with in the past. I was still struggling at the time. I think I was maybe a month clean. Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I think the way I started the conversation was like, hey, have you ever known anyone or have you ever dated anyone that has struggled with pornography?
Right.
And you should take it from here.
No. And then I thought about it. I think we were having kind of a deep conversation at the time. So it didn't feel too out of the blue. Like, it kind of fit in with conversation. So that part, I almost didn't notice, but I don't know. It didn't come as, it wasn't as jarring as I feel like it often is for people. But when he asked me, I kind of realized he was probably about to tell me something. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, do I know someone now that struggles with pornography? And it was interesting. I try to just be really cautious about making any judgments or saying anything because I didn't want to assume anything. And I had heard lots of stories about people who had been struggling with pornography or broken sexual marriages, addiction or and the ways that it affected their relationships, their marriages, their families. But I knew Chandler for at least a few weeks before then. I knew him to some extent, and I knew that he didn't seem like he fit that story. And so I didn't want to make any judgments. And so I kind of just asked him to tell me about it.
Yeah. I think one thing that was really key was Jade gave me the space to be able to communicate fully. And I think put in the effort to communicate fully.
And actually,
I didn't just dump it on her. I was like, let me talk to you about the story. And let me tell you about what I've learned, what I've been working on, what I'm currently working on. And I think in the process too, I shared with her some of the like educational bits that I understood about like my own psychology. And you talked about urges in the beginning, right? Like just even covering some of those fundamentals was, I think, helpful instead of just saying, hey, I'm struggling. Like, do you still want to date
me? So much context and education around what this actually is, because I had only heard stories of bad outcomes, right?
And being honest at the same time with where I was, you know, still working on things.
Yeah. I remember him telling me, oh yeah, I've been doing pretty good. It's been like a month. And I was like, what, a month? That's good. I didn't understand how much of a daily battle it was.
So Jade, I hear all the time that, listen, Craig, I can't tell her. She'll blow a gasket. She'll be devastated. There's couples who've been married 25 years where they can't have these conversations. And so what do you think? Why didn't you freak out? If you know.
I think part of it's my personality. I don't think I'm as reactive. I don't think I react very quickly to emotionally difficult things. It was very hard for me. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, if you tell someone you love that you're struggling with pornography, especially if you've been together for many 25 years. And there's that intimacy and that trust already built in, it's going to hurt a lot. And it did hurt for me too. I think part of it was because Chandler primed it pretty well. Like, he told me what was going to happen by asking that question. Hey, do you know anyone who struggles with pornography? I kind of knew where it was going. And I had the time to prep myself emotionally for the conversation that was about to happen. And I feel like the way Chandler actually when I tried to jump in, when he was telling me about his addiction, and I was trying to jump in to ask questions and question things, and ask for more details here and more details there, he just asked me to stop talking. And he was just like, can I please just finish, like, just listen to the whole thing and I'll make sure you can ask me any question you want afterwards. So I felt like I was going to get my chance to ask him questions, but I needed to do my part in listening to the whole thing. And the way he talked about his whole journey, how he felt about it, the part, I feel like I was able to tell who he was through that conversation. Instead of feeling like, oh, this is a terrible thing, I felt like, wow, I just learned so much more about this guy. And I learned that he's a fighter. He's hardworking. He sticks with it. He's been working on this for so many years, and he still has hope that he's going to change.
Which I think, to interject, like, I think, as I've talked to a lot of other guys who have told me the same thing, Craig, they're like, how do I go about it? I think you have to, you know, just understand and assume that it is going to be really hard for the spouse to hear that, and you can't control how they're going to react. Maybe they're going to react like how Jay did, maybe they won't. But certain things I think you can control. And one thing I tried to control was framing and helping her understand, like, yes, here's me being honest, but also here's why it's so important to me that I'm telling you this, because I care deeply about our relationship and I feel bad about how this may hurt you. But I'm choosing anyways, because I want to invest in us. And I understand if this is incredibly hard for you to hear, especially if it's someone that's built years and years of a marriage and trust, you know, already. But kind of letting her know, like, it's because I care about changing that we're having this conversation, I think made it so that she could at least, you know, think about more than just me saying, hey, by the way, I'm struggling with this, and letting her just be like, oh, that's it. Like, well, I hate you. That sucks. Like, you know,
he gave me a framework to think about it. He gave me the context that I needed to know how to look at him. Because honestly, it changed my world. It changed the way I saw him. Completely after that. Like, it took me a lot of time to process after he told me, and he didn't look the same to me. Like, I looked at him and I saw someone that I didn't fully recognize, because my paradigm shifted so quickly. So that will probably happen in most situations, but he also gave me something to fall back on: principles, science.
My heart was at.
Where his heart was at. And
yeah. Space for you, like, space for you to work through where you're at.
Right. And I feel like, I always feel like where someone is going matters so much more than what they're struggling with. Because we're all struggling with something. Maybe it's not this mind-blowing or world-shattering as a pornography addiction for someone who's never thought about that possibility before. But we're all still struggling on something. We're all a work in progress. This is just his work in progress. And so I just cared that he cared. I cared that he was working on it. And he had a lot of confidence that he was going to keep working on it. And then I just took the time I needed to process.
So you had heard, Jade, that this was something that was out there. Any formal training, it sounds like the way you describe it, it's out there, you know, it's something else versus, you know, families, right? Because let's project a future state where everybody's doing what they need to do. Parents are having these healthy sexuality conversations starting at 8 years old, since the average age of exposure now is 11, starting with healthy body parts, starting with pleasure and intimacy and connection, all things that parents hate talking about. That's how we hope it gets to someday. Was this a big surprise for you? It sounds like it was.
I don't think it was a surprise for me that someone close to me was experiencing it. I think it was a surprise just because I don't assume someone struggles with pornography or is trying to overcome pornography from meeting them. Now I know, like, the statistics, there's a lot more people struggling with pornography or using pornography and trying to overcome using pornography. A lot more people in that situation than I originally thought. So I was a little naive. I actually personally was starting to go down that path. I was interested in, I don't even know how to, what words to use to describe this. Like, I was curious as a younger kid. And so I looked up some stuff on YouTube, and I remember kind of going down this path. And I recognized after a while that wasn't something I wanted to do. I realized that it was going against what I was originally taught by my parents, which is that intimacy, sexuality, all those things are good things. Just to do it, we just want to do it at the right time, you know, with people, not on a screen.
Right, right.
So I don't know, I guess I had a little bit of understanding about I had a value system, I guess.
Yeah.
And I had some context around what was good, what was not good, what was healthy, I guess, what was not healthy. And then I had a little bit of my own experience that kind of shaped how I thought about it. I don't know if that answers your question.
Great answer, Jay. Thank you. No, I'm just letting you guys go because it's so awesome. You said you saw him differently, Jade. What did you see differently?
I think I saw a stranger. In all fairness, we had only known each other for 3 weeks. I wasn't trying to say I love you. I just blurted it out on accident. So
just came out.
No judgment here.
You can tell why I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd only known each other for 3 weeks. So I only knew so much. I felt like we knew each other very well. We got really deep.
There was a connection, right? There's a really, really deep connection.
I knew so much about him, but it's still, and maybe this would happen if we had been married 25 years too. I don't know. But once he told me, I don't even know what changed. I just felt like I didn't know him anymore because this felt like such a big part. This felt like such a big piece of information.
Yeah.
Because we were obviously still building a foundation of trust, like in trying to determine, do we trust each other?
And the thing is, after I processed it more, I realized this didn't change anything about him. He was still the person that I had gotten to know. He still had all the characteristics that I loved about him. I still felt like he was trustworthy. He always wanted to do the right thing. He was just very, steadfast. I don't know if that's a good word. He had felt such good characteristics. That was what interested me in the first place and why we had gotten to know each other so intimately. I realized this information actually didn't change that. It probably was part of the reason why he was this way. and why I loved him so much. But at the time, it did kind of just throw me off, I guess.
Yeah. I think we'd be remiss to not talk about how did you actually come to understand that? Because you were thrown off and you didn't just instantly start to see it that way.
Right. It took like many days. I remember I was studying for a final or some sort of exam in the library, and I couldn't study because I was just really rattled. I want to say I was freaked out, but internally I didn't really know what to think. I didn't really know what this meant for our relationship, if it changed anything, or if it was just a new piece of information to move forward with. So I prayed a lot because I'm very religious, and I started writing down my thoughts, all of my thoughts and feelings. It was kind of a jumbled mess in the beginning, but I kept praying to ask God to help me see this the way he would see it. Because I believe that we all go through challenges and that God sees us perfectly for who we are. And so I knew that I probably couldn't see it, but he probably thought the world of Chandler, and probably had so much more context than I did about what was really going on inside of Chandler that I didn't see. Mm-hmm. So I was just writing down my thoughts and just praying and asking him to kind of shape my thinking. And eventually I got to this place where I noticed that I was writing down things like God was proud of him for the work that he put in. Like, he's very hardworking. Like, it's really difficult to go through something like this, and to feel like it's completely contradicting with who you are. If you want, like, you have so many good desires and then you're turning to things that you don't want to be turning to. I kind of just realized that this was a big challenge that Chandler was going through for so many years. That's amazing that he's kept going and he's been working so hard through it all. It felt to me like it was more of an investment in who he was becoming than something that would tear him down, something that was ugly about him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, what's so interesting to me is that the honesty sounds like it was inspiring. It sounds like the honesty said just as much, if not more, about who he is as a person, as a man, than the transgression.
Right.
And that's such an important lesson for people, that because, listen, the lying, it is the lying that causes the most damage. And the behavior can't exist without the lying. It shouldn't be 12 steps for sex. We should be going to meetings for lying. We focus in my program a lot on the lying. In 40 minutes, I'm doing a mindfulness training on the liar part. It's such an...
Well, that's what she's mad about. If it's been 25 years, she's probably like slightly pissed about whatever it is that you've been lying about. But the fact that it's hasn't been talked about honestly for 25 years is probably the
that hurts the most. Yeah, say that again, Jade.
I was just saying that's the part that hurts the most.
Yeah,
even in our relationship, when he slips up, the part that hurts the most is if he doesn't tell me right away. And we have a pretty good system for you just tell me, because that's just what works for us.
Yeah,
just
we've worked tell me out. Immediately. We worked out what's healthy for us. We know it's different for everyone, but we talked about, like, Jade wants ongoing honesty, not one-time honesty, and that's I have said, okay, like, I'll do that.
So bring me back now to the chronology. You guys have this powerful union. I love you. Here's my story. This becomes your challenge. When did you realize, Chandler, there was a hole, or there was a hole, yeah, that you felt that you could fill with this app called Relay? I want to say the name 10 times so people can remember it.
Yeah, so I think it was about a year into our marriage when something that had kind of happened, like, in the meantime, is I had continued to be more open with other guys, like other friends, other people I'd met, and I found out 90% of them were also struggling with this, and most of them were actually trying to change that. And so I had, right, like, this list of friends in my phone who I could text and check in with and help keep each other accountable to honesty, to, you know, to whatever we were working on in our healing process. And as Jade was just talking about, she for her, like, felt like she was in a good enough place where she wanted me to kind of report, check in with her weekly ish on how I was doing. But I think it was something you'd said about a year into our marriage where you were like, you know, are you like, who else are you being accountable to? Or like these other guys, like, are you still being proactive at working together with them? And it kind of made me think that, that I was, you know, missing out on an opportunity to really band together in a powerful way with all of these guys that were in the exact same boat, simply because we weren't, you know, incredibly consistent or proactive at structuring a system that would allow us to maintain connection and accountability together.
And you tried.
And we tried. It yeah. Really and like, work. And even going to like a program, right, where I was meeting weekly on Zoom, and I had like a dedicated group, and I had these other guys too on my phone. Like, I probably had more people than the average person to turn to about this. I didn't really have a good team, is what it came down to. My support system was shallow. And I realized that the times I did better was when that support system was deep and I was utilizing my team. And so that's really what led to starting Relay. And Jade was the first one I talked to about this, and she's not as involved full time anymore, but it was us in the beginning, really. And we talked about, you know, what if there was a tool that made it easier for people who are struggling in isolation to find others in the same boat? And, you know, I can go to Facebook or Reddit or other apps even that have these big community forums, and I see thousands of other people that I know are, you know, in the same boat with me. But I realized that what was missing there was, like, it's not the same as having five guys in your corner that can be your like really deep support system. And so really what we've tried to build with Relay is just that, like, making it easy. If you don't have other people currently that are in your phone contact list, we help match people into groups, you know, similar age, gender, similar thing that they're struggling with. And then we help them once they're in the groups to stay connected and stay accountable. So we're making it easier to reach out. Like, we can send a red flag to basically say, you know, I need help, or I'm feeling lonely or stressed or whatever it is. Because one of the things I realized when we had these group chats going with some of my friends was that we weren't reaching out when we actually needed to. We weren't utilizing it.
That was like the one time they would never reach out was when they
right.
When we actually were struggling, yeah. We didn't use the chat. So Relay is a lot more than a group chat, but what we are trying to do is reduce the barriers to staying connected, staying honest, and staying accountable. And in a way that's a lot less shameful, because everyone there is working towards the same goal. And so, yeah, well, that's kind of where we got started.
There. You know how I think about it. And yes, this obviously will help people who are struggling with porn addiction, but it's the higher standard app. You can't expect people to hold themselves to that higher standard without community, without accountability, without tools. And this app provides all three at a price that's not gonna, you know, break somebody, you know? Back to you, Jade, what have been some of your challenges, or what are some of the challenges you've had to overcome as your journey as husband and wife continues?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is I've struggled with my own things. I've struggled a lot with mental health, just struggled to overcome my personal challenges. And I think that's one of the biggest things is being able to be there for him when he's struggling while I'm also struggling with various things. I think that's one of the things that we've kind of, it's stretched us a lot to have to, or to be one of the main people just trying to support each other while we're both struggling.
Yeah.
I think that's been a challenge.
I think we realized, like, you know, this is just a challenge that we will have in our marriage. There's probably many external and internally like driven that we'll encounter in our marriage, and having, yeah, more than just, you know, my challenges with pornography, I think it's a compounding difficulty. We have to find ways to not get dragged down in the difficult things.
Well, and the challenge with pornography, I see it as a challenge with intimacy. And I think it's really hard these days to, you know, it's something you have to work at, and it's something that you have to prioritize. And who do we take for granted first? Our partner, they're there. We don't know. They weren't here. They went to the store. They come back. Like they're always coming back to this place, and it's very easy to take that person for granted. What else about your story do you guys want to share? There's so much that we could talk about. I want to talk about some specifics on the app, but I just want to put out there, you know, there's a couple things you mentioned, and I want to make sure I'm getting them all. But yeah, what else?
I guess I just had one thing that came to mind. We'll see how this goes. I'm just thinking on the fly right now. One thing that was also challenging, but I feel like was very rewarding for us, is when Chandler would slip up and come tell me, because that's one thing that he's been very consistent at, is telling me when, or being honest with me when he needs to.
Very difficult.
And yeah, props to him, but it's been awesome for our relationship. I think that's obviously the number one thing in any successful relationship is honesty. But one big thing is it would obviously hurt me. I would feel hurt. I would feel betrayed. I would feel unsafe. I would feel, yeah, especially if we've been close, we felt really close to each other. And then suddenly I feel like he's distanced himself from me. Or it feels like we're really distant again emotionally. I don't feel safe. I don't want to be close to him. I don't want to touch him. I don't want him to touch me. I often have that reaction initially to finding out that he slipped up. And one of the biggest things, I don't know if this is right for everybody, but it's worked really well for me, is to, when I don't want him to touch me, I'll just put my hand like on his leg, on his thigh, or like on his arm. To just let him know that I still love him. And even though he messed up, I'm not going to turn my back on him. I just need time. So I don't necessarily want to talk. I don't want him to come give me a big hug or anything. That's the last thing I want. But I'll put my hand on his leg and kind of just remind him that I'm there for him. But also,
that we're still on the same team.
We're on the same team.
Even if emotionally you're not able to, like, you're hurt, you're wounded, and that's understandable.
Right, exactly. I feel like that's gone a really long way for us, especially because for so much of our relationship, he did beat himself up every time.
Which makes it worse.
Right, makes it worse, but it's also hard for a relationship if we're distancing from each other because of this, where we feel emotionally distant, and then he's also beating himself up. It's just hard for us to be able to come back from that. It's just a lot more work. So he tries his best to not beat himself up. I try my best to, you know, give him some sort of cue or reminder that I'm still there. I'm still on his team. I might not be feeling great right now, but we're together. We're on a team. And then he tries his best to help me feel better. But then I also have to work really hard to, feel close to him again. So I will do my part, even though I was the one that got hurt. I will do my part to, you know, give him some physical touch, you know, touch him a little bit.
To work, process through your emotions and work through.
Yeah. Whatever I guess is necessary for us to emotionally feel close together again and to heal from this. And I think the amazing thing is if you are trying your best, I really do feel like it's possible to heal completely after every instance. I don't think this has to be, I think it can. I think
only when you're 1 year clean.
Yeah, I don't think.
No. I mean, it doesn't have to be it's very natural for the women to internalize that this is done to me. This is something that's been done to me, and I respect that, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But the God's honest truth is when we're in that zone, and that's part of the problem, we're only thinking about ourselves. We're in a place where we've been since childhood, and it's not, which is one of the problems. And, you know, what you guys are talking about is having that safety to be honest with each other. Is so much better of a path than the punishment, than the shame, than the internalizing. It's natural for it to hurt. But from both person's perspective. How you respond to it is ultimately how well you're going to get through it. And the times get further and further and further and further. And eventually they disappear for a long time. And sometimes a life's crisis, you know, bring those challenges back. But that honesty, I would imagine, is very, very important to you guys.
Right.
Totally. And I think it's both of us that we're continually renewing our collective commitment to work at this. And I give props to Jade. She didn't choose to have this be a challenge that's a part of, you know, our relationship. But I know, as we talk to a lot of other women, it is very, I think, I don't want to invalidate anyone. It is, I think, very fair to feel like this is totally his challenge. But I think for us to still have a happy marriage while I am working through my challenge, is takes both of us working at it. And honestly, huge props to you for all you've done to help work through it.
And I'm not going to say, I never like think to myself, wow, I really don't deserve this. I deserve so much more. Like, I'm not going to say I never think about that. Or I never think like, wow, I should get like a pat on the back for how well I'm responding to this right now. Like, I do feel that sometimes, in all honesty. And I think it's okay to feel that.
I do too. I think Chandler should give you a pat on the back and a big hug.
There we go.
But I also think, as the spouse, it is also my responsibility to do everything I can to work through my own feelings and not take it out on him. And also, it's my responsibility. No one's going to pull me out of the rut that I'm in or the pain that I feel, except for myself. So even though maybe I didn't deserve the hurt, or I wish I didn't have to feel this way, or maybe other spouses don't have to feel this way, I still have all the power. I still have all the control to be able to pull myself out and to think about helping him when he just hurt me. I have that ability, and it actually helps me. It helps me feel better. It helps us to connect again. And it helps us collectively as a unit to heal. And I would say that we don't, like, gratefully, we don't have really any trauma here in our relationship, even though we've gone through lots of pain.
Yeah,
it's all come together for our benefit, and we've gone stronger.
We've grown a lot through it, and I think we've become closer and happier through
it.
You know, from your path, I see a training for young couples. I really do. I see a program. You go to the big house in Utah and give a presentation at the conference, and they fund you to develop a training, because what you're talking about are very emotionally mature concepts, Jade, about I'm owning my reaction. I can't control that, but doesn't have to destroy me, doesn't have to kill me. I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to retreat into a hole. It's a very, very emotionally mature concept, and holding space for how you do feel, and then, you know, taking ownership of that outcome. And you know, you too, Chandler, just, you know, leading with the honesty. I know, I hope, inspires some men listening to take action and do something about it. And speaking of taking action, so let's tell me about this awesome app. Give me an overview. I love it. I have to be honest. I'm on my team and I'm waiting. I'm such an egomaniac, guys. It's true. You can't do this without being, you know, someone who loves attention. And I got, I'll give you their first initials. It's K, it's O, T, and T are in my group. And I've dropped a couple of hints. I'm going on TV, met with Chandler. Like, oh, you're that guy. No one really cares, which actually it's better for my own. it's better for my own, kind of ego check that I haven't gotten that yet. It's such a neat group of guys. I don't know who they are, but to see them sharing, they track their goals. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So for anyone listening, what you can do is you download the app and you create an account and you answer a few questions, and that helps us match you into a group of other guys who are working towards very similar goals. And essentially, once you're in the group, what we do is a few core components. So it's not a program is one thing to note. Like, it is really a tool to help facilitate meaningful connection in the support system of peers that you now have, and to help promote that honest and shame-free accountability. And so I think it pairs, you know, really nicely for anyone that's working through any of your programs, Craig, or any other, you know, lots of helpful resources out there. I absolutely believe that there's a lot of people who know more about this than I do, right? But Relay can be your tool in whatever you're currently using as your resource toolkit to help deepen your connection accountability. So what that looks like is I'll come in there and I can track my sobriety each day. But it helps me reflect on patterns and things that are contributing to this. And one of the things that we find is that the ability to journal and add a simple reflection often helps spark ideas and thoughts that, you know, if we're just rushing through our day, we slip up, we move on to the next day. It may be hard to draw out some of those patterns. And so I'm doing those things, but it's in this team environment. So my group can actually see, you know, hey, Chandler just hit 4 weeks, or, you know, Chandler logged a setback yesterday. It doesn't notify everyone if I log a setback, but my group can help hold me accountable. And what we're aiming for is transparency, but not shame. And so we're not only tracking sobriety, but I'm actually able to track within Relay other things that I do have full control over. So I know for me that staying off social media is really important for my healing process, and going to bed on time and exercise. So within Relay, I can set up those goals. And just like with tracking my sobriety, my team can see those things, and they can see, oh, it looks like Chandler is doing his exercise every morning. Like, good job, man. Like, you know, how's that going? Or they can see if I'm not, and they can nudge me and help provide some friendly encouragement.
Let me tell you what I like about the app is it reflects the scientific reality that to break a habit, you have to make a habit. So yes, I can track my sobriety.
But that is not.
And I don't want to say it's not primary for anyone to think it's not important. It is. It's primary. It's prominent. But so is the make a habit part of the equation. So I can set goals. I can log my accountability. I can do a pulse check. Like, it's just a way, hey, how are you feeling? How's it going? Tell me about that feature. I like that.
That's maybe one of the coolest things, I think, for guys who have been struggling in isolation and, you know, for a lot of us who suck at being aware at our feelings, like, you can schedule and say, hey, I want to get a notification to remind me to check in for how I'm feeling in the morning before work and right before I go to bed. So I'll get that notification and I'll check in. And let's say I'm not feeling super great. So I'll put that in and it will help me reflect and think through, why am I feeling that way? So I can select, okay, maybe I'm feeling tired, had a bad night of sleep, I'm stressed because of something that happened at work, or I'm angry. And again, you can kind of journal there. But then what's cool is the app will help notice, hey, Chandler, it looks like you're feeling off. And it will prompt me to throw a red flag to my group. And a red flag is essentially like a way to let the group know that you're not doing well. It doesn't have to mean that you're in a crisis moment, but it's simply just, hey, I'm not feeling 100%. And so we're reducing the friction as people are checking in regularly. We're not only helping them train emotional awareness, but, you know, instead of not sending that text, like I talked about, we didn't send the text in our group chat when we needed help. That red flag, as I'm doing my feelings check-in and it's helping me send the red flag, is a very simple way that groups are able to be there for each other and say, you know, hey man, talk to me, what's going on? I know for me, like, it's been really good to have people to go to that I can talk to, who won't judge me if I'm feeling off right now, and they get it. So it's making that interaction a little bit easier.
Well, and the smart thing that you did is the groups, like, for example, you go on NoFap, you write a post, you know, there's thousands of responses, which are some hundreds, tens, hundreds, thousands, right? You know, if it's a really popular post, that accountability and that connection gets lost. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm not,
yeah. How do you find those people? Yeah. How do you find those people the next day? Like, it's really tough. So you're with the same group of seven other people. It's, you know, it's not tiny, but it's a tight knit group. Cause you want to be able to have, like, in your guys, in your group, they don't know you. They don't know how awesome you are, but they will soon, I'm sure. but the thing is that you can build that friendship in a safe, as anonymous as you want to be. And we have a lot of guys that choose to set a real profile picture and other guys that don't. That's totally fine. But they're the same group, and I think that's the cool part.
Yeah, I really enjoyed not being me, just being a person and talking and sharing. And okay, let me be honest. It's been a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed the app. Is there anything else that people need to know about it? I recommend it, guys, if you're listening, wherever you are in your journey, it's a tool. And you know, it all depends on how you use it, but it's a good tool, and it because it combines the make a habit with the break a habit and accountability. Accountability is not everything, but it's a lot. It is so important. It's so important to you can't be successful if you want to hold yourself to that higher standard without accountability. You can't be successful in your career if you want to hit that higher standard without accountability. So yeah, what anything else people need to know, and how do they get it?
No, yeah, I'd say the only thing is you can find it in the App Store for iOS or Android. It's called Relay Improve Together. Maybe we can throw a link or something in the comments of this, but
we'll do it.
Yeah. So it's $16 a month, or you can pay $60 for 6 months. So we're trying to make this affordable to be able to complement the other tools or programs you may be working in right now. And I know a lot of guys that have, you know, joined and paid for it have said, you know, I'm glad that I'm committing to accountability with my peers. And I think, it's been cool to hear people say, I've been so alone for so long, and now I've got other peers who get it, and I'm moving forward. And so, yeah, look up Relay in the app stores and give it a try.
And it's totally affordable. It really is. Your price structure is great. Anybody, you know, you buy a couple of coffees per week, you know, you've already paid for the app. And it's very important that you put your money where your mouth is, and where your money flows, energy flows. Where your money goes, energy flows.
Well, I love how you talk about that. Like, I know you talk about this too, and it's so important. Like, you cannot make change if you don't commit to make change.
Listen, you know, says the guy who charges people to, you know, for help. But it has been my universal experience. And there was a time early on in my practice, you know, hey, come on in, let's go. And here it is for free. Here it is for free. We have scholarships. We do try to make it work for people. But the free were always the biggest headaches, always got the worst results, always kind of dragged the team down, was a drain on my support team. Yeah. It's I'm glad you're charging for it. What it says, if I'm paying for it, it says this is important to me, and I'm going to prioritize this, and I'm going to use this tool. So that's awesome. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up? It was so awesome having you. So glad to join you. So glad that you joined me, and look forward to doing this again.
Thanks so much for having us on. We've loved it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Chandler.
Thank you. Okay,
we'll see ya.
Take care. Bye, everybody. Thanks, guys.